This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
And it is Labor Day. I am Gordon Damer, filling in for Rick, Chris, and Dave. And happy Labor Day to you. And this is when you first start to hear it. And it's a complete lie. And I feel confident that as a listener, if you ever heard me before, that we're kind of simpatico on this. People start to say right around now, Labor Day, you know what? I just love the fall. Don't you just love the fall? I love the fall. I love the fall. People say that and they're full of it. This right now is not the fall. People say they love the fall when it's like 75 every day. That's late summer. The fall is October when it's dark at 5 o'clock at night and it's 40 degrees and rain every day. I love football as much as the next person. Love football. Can't wait for football to be back, even though I root for a terrible organization that will never win. But that does not mean I love the fall. They could play football anytime and I would be just fine with it. So no, nobody actually loves the fall. People are making it up because what they really like is late summer. They don't like the oppressive heat of the summer, the 90, 100 degrees. So when it becomes like 75 and the leaves just change a little bit, they like that. That's the start of it. But that's not what the main portion of the fall is. The fall is driving home with your wipers on. It's freezing outside. There's leaves all over the ground that are there forever. That's the fall. Nobody loves that. All right, let's go back to the phone, shall we? 1-800-919-ESPN, 1-800-919-3776. Joe's in Watertown. Joe, what's going on, my man?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I get so frustrated at the Yankee games. I'm an old guy, by the way, that I have to go to confession after every game.
I can understand that. I don't know if you can. Are you allowed confession right now, Joe? That's a very close contact. I think you have to go... not face to face. What's the other one in confession where you shield? Yeah, I don't know. What's shielded? What is it? I don't remember.
Yeah, I still go though.
There you go. Good for you, Joe.
Hey, nobody's going to ask you. Isn't there someone on the bench, the coaching bench, who could stop Sanchez from taking his all or nothing swings when he's at bat?
Joe, I think that that's the approach that they are want. You know, when he came up, and look, maybe it's a case of, you know, the book is out on Gary Sanchez and you know, they figured out if you just keep throwing him pitches low and away, he'll just keep swinging at them. But it seemed like he was a guy that could kind of hit to all fields. He wasn't just an all or nothing power hitter. And it seems like over time, you know, because runs are so, here's the theory. The theory is that runs and offense is so tough to come by, right? The bullpens are so good, everybody's throwing so hard, that you want to strike. When you get a pitch to hit, you want to hit it hard someplace, so you're all or nothing swing. That's the reasoning behind it. But look, I mean, the results are the results, and the results for Gary Sanchez two of the last 3 years have been abysmal. So I think it's time to change the approach.
I was just going to say there's many, many times when he could just get a base hit, swing easy, and get a couple runs in. But he doesn't want to do that. And he's swinging at balls that are way out of the strike zone. So I'm really upset about it. But yep.
I thank you very much
for taking my call. I'm grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe, for making that call, man. Look, I understand it. He's as frustrating a player as I can remember watching with the Yankees. Because, you know, it's one thing... If you're old enough, you know, not all Yankee fans have never seen bad times. I've seen plenty of bad times, the late 80s, early 90s, guys who came up and couldn't perform. But those guys didn't have talent. Gary Sanchez has talent, and for whatever reason, it's just not clicking. Wow, this is a different format than I'm used to, Brian. Usually I do 1 hour in the morning and I'm exhausted. I have, you know, I sit there with the space blanket they give to people after they finish the marathon. I'm, sipping some water, sipping some coffee, maybe sometimes sipping some other things. This is a lot of work today. This is two and a half hours.
A marathon.
Yeah, it's a marathon. And 2.5 hours in a row. It's not like do 1 hour, take a break, come back for another hour. I feel like Jerry Lewis during the Labor Day telethon. Right? Didn't he do the Labor Day? I think it was. Hey, it's Gordon Damer filling in for Rick, Chris, and Dave. And this portion of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg is brought to you by OddsTrader.com, where the pros go to handicap. And you know what? Since I'm on in a different time slot where the sun is up, you know, a lot of people like the show when they get to hear it. But, you know, I'm on usually at 5 o'clock in the morning, Monday through Friday. It's not a time where most people or a lot of people are, it's not drive time. Let's put it that way. It's before drive time. It's a lot of times the night before. So I have not been able to. I feel like this is a time where we should at least inform this portion of the 98.7 FM audience about the Regal Tumble. The Gordon Damer Show, greatest TV show of all time, Regal Tumble, where we coming off the great success of the rewatchable movie bracket. You remember that from back in March / April. We had a little bit of a break that we extended it into April, and we came away with the most rewatchable movie of all time being Goodfellas. Really was never threatened. It was a UCLA, Lou Alcindor UCLA type performance by Goodfellas throughout the tournament. So we're doing it again, but this time we're doing it in a different format and with television shows. And the format is much like the Royal Rumble. I'm assuming that most listeners of ours know what the Royal Rumble is. WWE, big show. Oh, there you go.
We cannot do this!
Yeah, no, we can do it. Well, no, we can't do the Royal Rumble, but what we can do is instead of the Royal Rumble, we can go with the Regal Tumble. And we will be doing it, I always had planned after the baseball playoffs, but I'm bringing it up now because it seems like a very good possibility Yankees won't be part of those baseball playoffs. So we might very well be moving it up. And the reason why I'm bringing it up is because one of the criticisms that we had during the rewatchable movie bracket was my seatings of the movies. People were very, very disappointed. Their favorite movie either wasn't part of the field or that I gave them an extraordinarily difficult draw. This movie shouldn't be in this bracket. It should be in another bracket. So it was a lot of criticism of what got included and where it got included. So the Regal Tumble will solve all those problems because it'll be much like a Royal Rumble format in that every television show, reasonable suggestion will be included. Now, it'll be secretly seated. So the numbers will go 1 through whatever, and then each day we will unveil a new nominee. They'll get thrown into the Regal Tumble, and then the lowest vote getter that day will be thrown over the top rope. So it's the Gordon Damer Show Regal Tumble, and the biggest part of this and why I'm bringing it up now is I am asking for your suggestions. We've had a lot of great suggestions, and what I really like is the outside-the-box suggestions. A lot of times you bring up greatest television show of all time, and it's the same nominees over and over again, right? Sopranos, Breaking Bad, The Wire, people who bring up Game of Thrones who don't know what they're talking about, but they bring up Game of Thrones, they'll bring up, Friday Night Lights, they'll bring up a bunch of different television shows that always get included in these type of lists. This is about whatever television, think about the shows that you've spent most of your life watching. So some of the outside the box suggestions that have been great, SportsCenter. How much of your life, think about as much as I love Breaking Bad or The Sopranos, I've certainly spent far more of my life watching SportsCenter than Breaking Bad, even as much as I love Breaking Bad. 60 Minutes was a suggestion. Sesame Street was a suggestion. Hockey Night in Canada was one of the nominees. All reasonable suggestions will be included. So if you have a greatest television show of all time that you want to see included in the Gordon Damer Show Regal Tumble, which will be, I guess, probably October 1st, I think, is the target date. That's the soft open. If you have a nominee, certainly feel free. You can tweet me, at Gordon Damer, and use the hashtag Regal Tumble, so that I make sure that I see it. Sometimes those tweets, I don't see some of them. I don't know why, Brian. You seem to get more of them than I do. And you keep bringing up these suggestions. I say, where the heck was that? What area was I supposed to be looking at to find that one?
It's under your Twitter, too.
Yes, you can certainly tweet me. But use the hashtag Regal Tumble so we can include that in the mix. Okay, so that's the Regal Tumble read. I got the Michael Kay Show read out of the way. And we've been talking a lot today about the New York Yankees, who will be entering a stretch of games, which I think is pretty critical, right? Like, if you get through this season, even with 60 games, I've been going back and forth. Like, can you make a fair assessment on a baseball season? And would the Yankees make a fair assessment on a baseball season based on 60 games? Like, if something goes really wrong this year, and again, it would have to go really wrong this year for the Yankees not to make the playoffs. Keep in mind, like, I know that they've been passed by the Blue Jays. I know that they're playing terrible baseball. And the lineup, again, as I brought up in the open, you look at the batting averages over the second or two-thirds of the Yankee order, And it's like Dean Wormer running down the grade point averages of Delta House during Animal House. I mean, the next one is worse than the next. So I understand the frustration, especially with the way the team is playing and the fact that there's not really any aspect of the team outside of a couple of hitters, LeMahieu, Clint Frazier, Voit was very, very hot for a short period of time. Gio Urshela has had some big hits here and there. But there's no aspect of the team that is playing at their expected level, above their expected level. The bullpen has had its issues. The starting pitching has had its issues. The defense has had shaky moments as well. So I understand that there's a lot of things that need to be improved, but primarily I think it has to be the lineup. But even right now, which feels like rock bottom, it's at some point they have to be able to turn this around. They cannot continue to lose games and not score runs with the way they have. But there have to be changes. I do think there have to be changes. And there's only so many things that you can change right now. Like, you'd like to be able to get the team healthy. That's key. You'd like to be able to get them to stay healthy. I don't know how you can do that, but I do think that you can find a lineup that can score some runs. And as I said, the two things that I would like to see at this point forward, if you're going to make suggestions about ways to improve things, simply A, stop with the rest. Nobody needs this amount of rest. And show me the numbers that shows that, you know what, this guy with this much rest is going to be this much better. Because there's not any examples of it this year. I think what you're seeing, and you know what really might be the real problem here, is that maybe the Yankees got duped into a little false sense of security with some of the performances last year, because last year, offensively, the ball was just juiced. There's no other way to put it. The numbers last year offensively for across baseball, the number of home runs, and it certainly seems like that this year the ball is not nearly as juiced. And a lot of the guys who were the top performers in terms of filling in the next man up, those guys have not performed anywhere near, especially the power numbers. You know, you take a look at Tauchman's power. I mean, the amount of guys the Yankees have on a regular basis in the lineup that are slugging 300 to 350, that's just not acceptable. You know, Gary Sanchez is the touchstone, obviously, but there's a lot of guys in that lineup who are just not performing, especially the power. Now, you know, Mike Ford was a guy who looked like a real good power bat, if not anything else, off the bench. He comes in, and, I mean, you take a look at his number. What was his numbers? 141, 225, and 282. He's slugging under 300. You know, Tauchman, who was a guy last year who was a real find, it seemed like. I mean, he put up an OPS of 850. This year, zero power. Now, he's still walking some, but his slugging is 300. That's just not a professional player. Never mind the fact who guys, you know, in the order who have really never performed offensively. You know, Tyler Wade has never really, I know that it seems like every spring you're hearing about how Tyler Wade is really putting up some good numbers, and then the season starts and it never seems to happen because, he doesn't perform and then he doesn't get the consistent playing time. Tyro Estrada is another guy. It just seems like they're automatic outs. Gary Sanchez is another one. So I think that the two things in terms of suggestions that I would say moving forward, A, we got to stop with the rest, because there's nothing that shows to me that it improves anyone's performance, and B, it never shows anybody can stay healthy. You know what I mean? You're finding rest for this guy and you're finding rest for that guy, and the Yankees are continually putting guys on the DL for long stretches of the season, prominent guys. So I would say the rest is not really has not been anything that you'd say, oh my gosh, here's the examples of it paying dividends. And then I think, secondly, I think you got to find a lineup, once you take the rest part out of it, that every single day includes your best players. And given the state, assuming, you know, what you have healthy right now, your best players are LeMahieu, Torres, Frazier has to play every day. Voit, even despite his struggles, they've been trying to get him, you know, kind of half days playing him as DH. He has to be in there every single day. And then the fifth guy, I would say, has to play every single day. If I'm looking for available pieces that I have some level of confidence are going to hit on a consistent level, I would say Miguel Andujar has to be that guy. Andujar projects as a much better bet as a professional hitter than Tauchman or Gardner at this stage, or Ford or Wade or Tyro Estrada, or even Sanchez at this point. Like, Sanchez, he'll hit his home runs here and there, but primarily, you know, he had a bounce back year last year, but the year before that was a disaster. And somehow, as bad that year, the problems with Sanchez were much more multifaceted. He was hurt a lot more. He had questions about his effort a lot more. It wasn't just his batting numbers, which were abysmal. But this year, somehow, his numbers are even worse. You know, he's had 100 at bats, as we brought up earlier, and he struck out 48 times. You don't need to be Bill James to know that that is just not a professional hitter. So it has to be more than 1 or 2 days off to me for Gary Sanchez. And maybe after this season is over, the Yankees go back to whatever plan they have with Sanchez and find a whole different plan, because it seems like no aspect of it is working right now. But for right now, I would say those five guys have to be in the lineup every single day. Let's get the offense fixed first by putting your best players out there on a day-in and day-out basis. Now, maybe, look, I don't know if they still have any doubleheaders left, but if they do or new ones pop up, maybe you get a guy a day or here or there. But primarily, LeMahieu has to play every day, Torres has got to play every day, Frazier's got to play every day, Voit's got to play every day, and Andujar, I think, at this point, who else do you got? And he's a struggle, I get it, because defensively it's tough to find a spot for him. But if he's got to be the primary DH, so be it. I can't watch the non-competitive at-bats of the rest of them day in and day out. And I don't have a whole lot of confidence that any of them are going to turn it around anytime soon. Yes. Every time you hear that thing, the Sopranos is back. It's been a while, but still sounds good. Hey, it's Gordon Damer filling in for Rick, Chris, and Dave. And more importantly, if I leave you with any piece of information today, we'll get back to the phones in just a sec. 1-800-919-ESPN. 1-800-919-3776. I want you to know that I hate the person I am. I don't know why I'm like this. All week, I've been getting ready for the NFL, and football is number one for me. And it's number one despite the fact that my team, my organization, the team that I root for, the Miami Dolphins, couldn't find a functional organization with two hands and a map. I know this going in. I know it with every fiber of my being. I know it deep down in my soul. And yet, in the break, I'm reading Peter King's article, Football in America. And he's predicting the Dolphins to go to the playoffs and win the AFC East. And all right, yeah! All of a sudden, I buy right in. I go against every... Why am I like this? Why? He just puts it out. I mean, he doesn't really have any real reasons that he's coming up with. He just says, Tua, the watch is on. The Dolphins could win 10 games. I think they can. Based on what? Based on what? I'd love to believe. Trust me, I want to believe. I want to buy in. I'd love to be on board. But I can't be on board when, the captain of the ship is, the owner is such a buffoon. But yet I buy in all the time. He has Bucks Ravens in the Super Bowl. That's Peter King's Football Morning in America column. So did anybody else see that stat about Tom Brady? Tom Brady at some point this year, he's 43. He will have played more games this year as a 43-year-old than every other 43-year-old in the history of the NFL. That seems like an awful lot to be putting on a 43-year-old guy. I don't care how much avocado ice cream you eat. That's a lot. That's an awful lot. All right, I promise phones to wrap things up. Let's go to them. 1-800-919-ESPN, 1-800-919-3776. Yankees, Nets, Islanders, big Islander game tonight, 7:30. Right here on 98.7 FM ESPN New York. But let's go to Brian in New Jersey. Brian, you're next up on ESPN New York.
Hey, Gordon, how are you? Two quick things, if I can.
Sure.
There's no stability with this Yankee team. There's lineup shifts every day. You got Brett Gardner at 37, finally becoming a three-hitter. That I don't get. Aaron Hicks, I don't care about. Walks one bit, not a three-hitter. He's a 7 or 8-hitter. And he doesn't even deserve to be in the starting lineup as far as I'm concerned. The guy's got 6 years left. Not a major league starter. He plays good defense here and there. He walks, like I said, but I've had enough with him about 3 years ago. I'm done. I mean, he's not, like you said, Clint Frazier deserves to be on this team, deserves to be in the lineup. Aaron Hicks can have a seat. I don't think they'll be able to get rid of him for 6 years left on that contract, but who knows?
Well, look, here's the thing. I mean, there's not a lot of good options in the Yankee order right now. I do wonder about Hicks. He's coming back from the Tommy John surgery. And the walk numbers are still there, but the power numbers are not. And I do kind of wonder I don't know that there's been many positional players coming back from Tommy John, and whether or not that would impact your power numbers, but it certainly does not seem like, in at least in terms of driving the ball, that he's the same guy. I'm a little bit more willing to have a little bit more patience with him, because he's not an automatic out, as you said. Like, he can get on base, so there's not a lot of great options.
Big spots. There's no big spots where he shows up. I mean, last week was one, but in these 4 years, when he had a big hit. I mean, you can bring up that playoff game. You need consistency from this guy. It's been 4 years. I mean,
I mean, I'm not saying that he's he's the be all end all, but right now with the amount of options that you have in that order, I mean, you have guys right now that are automatic outs. They don't do anything. And I get that walks are not what you're putting guys up there to do, but at least it's not using up an out. There are so many guys that just use up. I mean, it's a joke. The at bats are a joke. At least Hicks, he'll get on. I mean, I don't know what his on base is this year. I'll take a look at it in a sec here. But at least he gets someone on base. Again, I don't think that he's been great by any stretch of the imagination, but he's been better than a lot of the other options, mainly because the other options have been abysmal, absolutely abysmal. This year, yeah, he's getting on base 35% of the time. His on base is 356. So even though he's only hitting 206, and again, the slugging percentage is the real concern there. He's at least been a league average player, which is more than you can say for a lot of the Yankees. Let's go to Anthony on Long Island. Anthony, what's going on, my man?
How's it going, man? I listen to you guys every single day. I'm a big fan. I like what you guys talk about. I'm here to talk about the Rockets and the Lakers series.
Okay.
So I'm a Rockets fan, and I wanted to know you guys' opinions on where the series is going. And how they're playing against the Lakers and, stuff like that.
Well, I did not see game one. I saw last night's game. The Rockets get down, major in the first half, and then they come back in that third quarter. They have to get more out of Westbrook than they – I mean, Westbrook last night, wanted him to just, almost take it. I think that they would love to have been able to put him on the bench and not have him because he was just – a non-factor last night, and not more than a non-factor. He was a negative factor. It's one thing if you're out on the court and you're not really having an impact. He did have an impact negatively for his team. This portion of the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg show is brought to you by OddsTrader.com, where the pros go to handicap. Let's continue to squeeze in the calls here before we get out of here at 12:30. Eddie is in Brooklyn. Eddie, my man.
Hey, Gordon, happy Labor Day to you. And I'd like to say Labor Day to a fellow of my hard working lasses out there and tell them get ready for tomorrow. But what I wanted to say to you is two things. I don't know why people are so down on the Yankees. I mean, what we expect, all their major players are hurt, so they're just trying to survive. My other point is, the bubble is really interesting, man, because you know why? There's no home court. It's you could see people, their skills really coming through, because you're not going home having your crowd and all that stuff like that. You got to really bring your A game. If you don't, you're going to get beaten. I kind of really like the bubble without the fans. I hate to say it because it's now there's no, there's no going home. Well, we're going to go home. Our crowd going to pump us up when we get home, this and that. So teams really got to bring the A game in the bubble.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, in terms of the bubble, the one thing I didn't like, and Eddie, thank you for the call because we're running out of time. The one thing I didn't like, and maybe this is just the modern NBA and there's nothing to do, it's just going to be the way it is because stars are so important. The Bucks, they lose game one, they lose game two, and then they go out, and I think it was really after game two, but maybe it was after they go down 3-0. And it's clear, you go down 3-0, chances are you're not going to come back in the series. But they're able to win game four, so it's still, they're still alive. But as soon as they get done with game two, the conversation, it doesn't shift to, hey, the Bucks need to do this or that so they can kind of transform themselves from this team that can dominate in the regular season but can't get over the real premier teams in the postseason. It immediately becomes, where's Giannis going? Is he going to the Heat? What can Golden State put together for Giannis? I mean, I'd like to think that, imagine being a Bucks fan where you finally hit it with this superstar, and then as soon as the going gets tough, the guy's going out of town. And it's not that he's saying it, but everybody else is saying it. So I'm assuming that it's probably the conversations that are being had in the bubble. Pat Riley's he's out there somewhere. That snake Pat Riley. He's gonna take him. He's going to get him. All right, that's going to do it for us for today. We're already out of time. 2.5 hours flew by like that. And it was mostly talking about the dreg Yankees right now. So hopefully they can turn things around today. And at least we can have one play, one team outside of the Islanders, who are on our air tonight at 7:30, be in the playoffs. But we will see you tomorrow starting at 5 a.m. back then. We'll see you then. 98.7 FM, ESPN New York.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Kicks them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.